Thank you, Brother Ibrahim Hosni, for those inspirational words. Can we please give him another loud salawat? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. To reiterate a point that was made during Brother Qasim Jafri's speech, the late the famous translator Dr. Hamid Ulger has written in his biography of the late Imam that during the 1930s, the late Imam expressed his own opinions of the Pahlavi regime, the leading characteristics of which he identified as oppression and hostility to religion, as yet only elusively in private circulated poems. Once again, I'd like to remind everyone who came late to our program, for the rest of our program for the rest of the night will be as follows. We'll be having a speech, a quiz competition, poster competition winners, and our closing remarks, followed by a dinner and Salat al-Maghrib. I'd also like to make the announcement that those people whose children are running around, please gather your children and keep them with you, as they are making a lot of noise in the back. I also want to make the announcement again that there is a resource table in the back, and they are selling DVDs on the life of the late Imam, as well as kifayas and other things. Before I introduce our speaker, I want to speak a little bit about the sponsors of today's event. The first is Muslim Congress, an organization which has been around for the past 7 years and holds an annual conference. This year's conference will inshallah be on July 4th weekend in Kansas City, Missouri. Inshallah, registration for the conference can be found at muslimcongress.org. For those interested in the Detroit metro area, that we have also provided two buses which will be going from here to the conference and back. The charge for the bus will be $79 per person. I, alhamdulillah, have had the blessed opportunity to attend this conference for the past 5 years. And I really want to encourage everyone, both young and old, to really, really push to go to this conference. Inshallah, there's a great opportunity to not only attend speeches, workshops, but also have one-on-one time with scholars of high level and high ideology, which is something that is lacking in our communities. You also have the opportunity for connecting with individuals on multiple levels, both whether it be in our worldly lives as well as our spiritual aspects, and helps us become better connected to the community at large. Once again, for those interested in signing up, you can go to muslimcongress.org. For those signing up for the bus, you can go to muslimcongress.org/DETBUSII. You can also contact Brother Asghar from the brother side, and also Sister Thuba, who is right here, if she would stand up. Okay. The other sponsor of tonight's event, which I want to bring note to, is the Al-Quds Committee. This committee was founded last year and successfully held a protest at Dearborn City Hall. It is a national organization with dedicated individuals who strive to bring justice for Palestine and for all oppressed people. Inshallah, this year Al-Quds Day will be held on Friday, August 26th. Please join us on this year's Al-Quds Day event. If you would like more details for both of these, for this program, you can go to freealquds.org. Once again, freealquds.org, freealquds.org. You can also find more information on the screens at the right that have been showing up throughout the program. Tonight, we have been blessed to have amongst us Agha Sayyid Hassan Mushtaba Rizvi. He is an eloquent speaker who has been traveling to different cities in North America, conducting seminars and speeches on various occasions. He grew up in Toronto and has been instrumental in affecting hundreds of lives with his excellent speeches and ideological guidance. His speeches are available at MuslimCongress.tv as well as ShiaTV.net. Tonight he will be speaking on liberty, justice, and equality in the eyes of the late Imam Khomeini. Please welcome Agha Sayyid Hassan Mushtaba Rizvi with a loud salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Darkness started to spread in a world where the ambassadors of light came and tried the responsibility that they had towards their Creator to bring about the light, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the humanity, the creation of Allah, who was blessed with the power of choice and the power of reasoning. Salawat pore hon. And this light, which was given to the chosen human beings, the perfect human beings, for their responsibility was to give this light to the individuals, the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have been blessed with the power of choice and power of reasoning. To take this light with their own reason and choice and to finish the darkness first inside and then outside. That this darkness which was coming upon the earth was not going to end until and unless, with the power of choice and reasoning, the creations, the human beings, decided on their own to finish the darkness first inside and illuminate a light which will reflect and finish the darkness outside. After 124,000 prophets and 12 of their successors and countless individuals who took the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their power of reasoning and choice and implemented the government of Allah inside of their souls, that illuminated inside of their souls through this guidance, were able to illuminate and give light in the dark world, which has been filled with oppression and tyranny because of the hands of human beings. This tyranny and oppression which actually prevails till today. We do not consider if someone lies as tyranny. We do not consider if someone does backbiting as tyranny. We do not consider if the young do not respect their elders as tyranny. We do not consider if in our community centers People are playing political games, which are the political games of their enemies that they are playing. That in their political games, they are no different than the enemies that they are against. We do not see that as tyranny, that those individuals were responsible to give the religion, the true religion of Allah, the true message of Allah to the people, are sitting in the laps of the tyrants of the world. We do not see this as tyranny, that a person wearing the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shaking hands with the tyrants of the world and trying their very best to accommodate the tyrant so their centers can receive the donations and the money which will get their centers to become bigger, and for their name to become bigger, and for their respect to become bigger. We do not consider those as tyranny. We don't consider that we have been segregated even to the point of language. We don't consider that as tyranny, that Muslims around the world have forgotten what unity and one being, one body means. That an Irani can say that I am Irani, and an Iraqi can say I am an Iraqi, and a Pakistani can say I'm a Pakistani. Indonesian can say I'm an Indonesian, Malaysian can say I'm a Malaysian, and in the end, in the least, and the bottom of the list, they say we are Muslims. That prejudice is not considered to be tyranny. That if we are prejudiced against our own Muslim brothers and sisters, it's not considered as tyranny. It is not considered as oppression. That we take sides. That religion to us is a buffet. Most of us, and I'm including myself so that nobody else feels bad, but most of us in front of you right now is a buffet of religion. Imagine the tables that you have is a buffet of religion. And most of us, we will pick and choose out of this buffet whatever we would like to eat. And even in this conference, you will have participants who will come and pick and choose from this buffet whatever they like and will leave the rest. And they will not consider that as tyranny. That whenever religion suits us, we will accept it. Whenever religion serves us, we will accept it. Whenever religion makes our lowly desires easily acceptable and accessible, we will accept it. But when religion makes our lives difficult, when following on the fundamentals and the principles of our religion makes our lives difficult, we will spit it out. That those individuals who are responsible to spread the message of Allah have become professional motivational speakers, have become professional entertainers, where they're able to play the part of tragedy and have people shed tears, and also play the part of a comedian to have people laugh. And then they can charge $300 an hour. They can charge $800 an hour. They can ask for them to be put into 5-star hotels with their elders being their slaves. Where their 60, 70-year-old elders would have to serve them as slaves. We do not consider that as tyranny or oppression. We welcome those individuals. We welcome them to our centers because they are eloquent speakers, as unfortunately I was labeled the same. that it does not matter what the individual's heart and soul and inside and what this individual feels for the religion, as long as can do an eloquent speech, they're welcomed. It's not considered as tyranny. I think you know where I'm going. This world is filled with tyranny and oppression. And this tyranny and oppression can only be finished by Muslims living like Muslims. You cannot live like a kafir and also like a Muslim. You cannot live like a polytheist and also like a Muslim. You cannot be part-time Muslim and part-time You cannot divide your life into I will be, you know, the term I don't want to use because secular. I would like to be a modern Muslim. I don't know if there's a different kalima for them. Maybe they will come up with a different kalima where, you know, our kalima or the Muslims' kalima says that I bear witness that there is no one worthy of love, obedience or worship other than Allah. This is our kalima. This is what we bear witness. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ilah means God. God to someone is any entity which is worthy of love, obedience and worship. So maybe their kalima would be, I bear witness that whenever it suits, I will obey and worship and love Allah, and on the other times I will be in the obedience and love and worship of someone else. We have to live like a Muslim. And we have to die as a Muslim. We say those words that, oh Allah, make us live the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his holy progeny, and have us die a death of Rasulullah and his holy progeny, yet we live. How do we live? How do we live? Is our lives exactly like the lives of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? Is it like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is it? Who is our role model? Is our role model Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, or is our role model someone else? Who are we emulating? Who are we putting that as role model and shaping ourselves to be? Whose clone do we want to be? For whom do we want to be acceptable? We don't see that as tyranny. Death of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Martyrdom. Martyrdom by either poison or sword. Not cancer, high blood pressure, not diabetes, not a death on our bed of whole list of diseases that are there. To be a martyr. Today even shahadat, to say shahadat or to say jihad has become a difficult way, it's a difficult task to say shahadat, to say martyrdom, to talk about jihad. It is a difficult task. If you're going to talk about that, there will be less individuals who will accept you, more who will stand against you. But they're the ones reading Ziyarat Ashura. Is this not a tyranny? Is this not oppression? What was the reason? Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, salawat bole Muhammad wa alayh. What is the reason that after 20 plus years, someone who did not meet him, someone who was not in his presence, yet that individual and yourselves as well who did not get a chance to meet him or see him are here gathered, knowing that by us coming together, there are going to be individuals who are going to be upset and unhappy, and there are probably individuals who are filming and listening and taping, and Big Brother is listening and taping, and there are individuals who have given their souls for $65,000 a year to point fingers to those individuals who love, respect, and emulate Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. What has given us this much strength that we are able to handle all of those difficulties, and we know what we are doing and we know what our consequences are going to be? It is because he submitted to the will of Allah. He lived a life of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. He emulated them in every single aspect of his life, and he was not afraid to have a death, the death of the martyrs, the death of going in the way of Allah. He did not throw shah. What he first did is threw the shah inside. He brought a revolution inside of their soul. In his soul there was a might. In his soul was a superpower. In his soul was the Almighty, who gave him strength and allowed him to overthrow the Shah in his nafs. And after he brought the Islamic government inside of his soul, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was ruling on his nafs, on his soul, that he was a true slave of Allah, this is the projection that you see today. It was the revolution that he brought inside that projected in the revolution outside, until today. After 32 years, the whole world is being illuminated by that. That people who have never seen or heard him live are able to love and shed tears. It was the love and submission that he had for Allah. Every human being is born with the inclinations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being is born with the same inclinations as Allah. Fitratullah allati fatara an-nas 'alayha. Every human being is born with the inclinations of Allah, the things that Allah likes, and this individual hates the things that Allah hates. Every human being. It is the parents. It is the parents who turn this individual's inclinations by the definitions that they give of justice, liberty, equality, God, prophethood, book, laws. And after giving them all of these definitions, this individual will either become a Christian, a Jew, a lover of Ahlul Bayt, or a hater of Ahlul Bayt. This person will be shaped by the definitions that are given by the parents first, then by the society and the friends and the social structure that this individual lives in. The definition of justice of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, and the definition of justice in his word, should we say it? We're already half handcuffed anyways, and probably I look very good in that color, you know, in the it suits me quite a bit. You know the orange color? It suits me really well. It brings out my face and my eyes. The greater Satan. The definition of justice, the way that it has been given, is that there's going to be justice for the individuals who are with us and who are against us or who are not with us. For them, there is no justice. Liberty can be given to you if you are with us. Your life can be easy, relaxed, make money, have education, have all of the necessities of life given to you, as long as you're with us. This is going to be your liberty. And equality would be such that you have to understand that you cannot ever be equal to us. But as long as you understand that fact, you can be equal among yourselves. We will give you enough aid in equal amount so that you don't feel that this person did not receive 6 billion, this person received 5 billion. Now we will make sure that all of you, justice is an oppression if it is not defined by Allah. Justice is oppression if it's not defined by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Justice is oppression if it's not defined by Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Justice is oppression if it's defined by me and you or any of the imperialistic, capitalistic, Zionist regimes of the world. Liberty? What is the liberty? You know, in Afghanistan, they were showing that in the 70s, they had freedom. So what was their freedom? They were able to walk out of their house looking like Americans. They had liberty, they had freedom. But now look at the oppression that the woman has to wear the Islamic dress. It's oppression. That the woman has to raise those kids who can actually become one day, who can change the world. That's oppression. We need to make a choice today. My brothers and sisters, you have to make a choice. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut yukhrijunahum min an-nur ila adh-dhulumat ulaika ashabun nar hum fiha khalidun. We have to make a choice. There's only two groups. There is the group of Allah and there is the group of Shaitan. You have to make a choice with your own power of reasoning and the power to choose in which group do you wish to be. If you decide to be in the group of Allah, you are naive if you think that you are not going to be tested. You are naive if you think that your life is going to be easy. You're naive to think that the enemies are not going to make you as their enemies. You're naive to think that you will live this life with ease. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh gave us the inner strength to be able to make that choice with our clear mind and soul. Just a few words. The president of Pakistan, I think he has 52 states, I don't know. How many states do you have? 50. Okay, so the president of one of the states, president of Pakistan went to visit Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, and he said to Imam, he said, you know, can you please have good relations with the superpower? You know, can you ease off a little bit? Have a bit of relationships with the superpower? Make your relationships in sync, in line. And Imam Khomeini rahmatullah replied, he said, our relationships with the superpower are great. And this individual said, your relationships with the superpower are great. He said, yeah. And when he saw, he was perplexed. When Imam Khomeini saw that he was perplexed and his face was showing this confusion, he said, the superpower that exists in this universe is Allah, and our relationship with Allah is fine. So there are certain individuals still in this sort of predicament where they want to make sure that the relationship with the superpowers are fine, where they can go in the Pentagon and to the places where they were not allowed before to be able to sit down in closed doors and have these relationships to be sorted out so that their relationships with the superpowers are okay. But what about the superpower, the Almighty Allah? How is your relationship with Him? He is the wali of those individuals who deny the taghut first. Not the ones who compromise and shake hands with the taghut. He is friends to those who have relationship with Him and sacrifice everything that they have regardless of the difficulties they're going to face. If our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the superpower of the world, and not the superpower of the world that we live in, I don't live in, thank God, I live in the cousin of the superpower. The superpower of the world has become to such a certain degree that I was flying in American Airlines going towards Dallas. I had worn some light clothing, and as I was in the plane, I started to shiver a little bit because it was really cold. And I asked very sympathetically and very humbly to the air hostess that, could I please have a blanket? And she replied back, $8. I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to buy the blanket, I just want to use it for the time that I'm here. She said, I'm sorry, you cannot just use it, you have to pay $8 and the blanket is yours. And I said to myself, this is the condition of the superpower of the world that cannot even afford. There are airlines that you can fly that are in the developing countries or in the countries that are considered to be poor, where they will give you a blanket for free. But in this, so where do we stand? Are we going to go out of this conference just the same way as we came in, or are we going to take the lessons? That justice can only mean if you have the definition of justice by Allah, if you're able to place the things where they're supposed to be placed, then it is justice. Liberty is only in the obedience of Allah. There is no liberty in the disobedience of Allah. You can only be liberated if you are in the complete obedience of Allah. Before you speak, ask Allah, can I speak? Before you take a first step, ask Allah, can I take this step? Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah's uniqueness out of all of the ulama of our time or the previous times was that he lived every single moment asking from Allah how to live. There was a time when obviously he was very famous, there was millions and millions of people that, you know, adored him and loved him. One of the individuals, one of the scholars said, you know, let me see how his nafs is. This individual was getting praise and so many individuals are following. Let me see how his nafs is. He says that I was standing, I saw Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah come and walk. As he was taking a step, he was saying, my Lord, this is for you. And the second step, my Lord, this is for you. And the third step, my Lord, this is from you. This is for you. And as he stood up and he waved his hand, as he always used to do, his voice was, "My Lord, this is for you. My Lord, this is for you. My Lord, this is for you." An individual who is so sensitive about every single thought of his mind and soul, that it should be only in the submission of Allah and not of his nafs or soul, is a liberated man, is a free man. Your freedom is only dependent or relative to the obedience of Allah. If you obey Him in every single aspect of your life and in your thoughts, this is how much you're free. And every time you disobey Him, this is how much you're a slave. An equality. You know, there is all the Muslims in the world, like my brothers and sisters, everybody here. We could try to do a little bit of experiment, but I don't know if that will work out, because I have 3 more minutes. So I was given half an hour, so time has to be there. But anyways, okay, quickly, if we were to start from that end, maybe not possible, okay, a few, 3-4 steps or seats back. If the, one person would start, you know, and don't do this, I'm just giving you as an example right now because we don't have time to do it. If that person was to pinch the other individual, and then the other individual pinches the other individual and continues this as throughout every row, and then goes, obviously a mahram to a mahram, pinches, and then it starts all the way to all of the rows, everybody who gets pinched pinches the other person. You will feel the pain of the first individual who was pinched. True or not? You would feel the pain of the first individual who was pinched. The reason why we are not able to feel the pain of the people in Palestine is because we are not pinched yet. Because no one has come to our house and taken the fathers in front of the kids' eyes and put a black cloth on top of their heads and taken them in handcuffs in front of their wives. The husbands are taken. Because we haven't seen our 6-month-old sons to be blown up. We do not feel the pain of the people in Palestine. We don't feel the pain of the people in Bahrain. We do not feel the pain of the people in Afghanistan. We do not feel the pain of the people in the Islamic countries. We do not feel the pain of those individuals who are in Guantanamo Bay being oppressed. We do not feel the pain of those sisters whose honor has been taken. Because there is no one taking the honor of our sisters. Till when are we going to consider ourselves other than the part of the body that we are? The voice of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is loud, and it has reached the ears of the world, and it will reach and continue reaching, and the tyrants and the oppressors are shaking in their boots, and they will continue to shake. Because this thought process, these definitions are the definitions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam is in thought, mind and action in every single aspect of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, and the Yazid of the time is shaking in its boots. And it should. Because there's another Hussein of the time that we are waiting for. Because there's another Karbala which is going to happen. Because it is going to have two sides, the group of Allah and the group of Shaitan. And we have to decide with our power of choice and reasoning to take the guidance and the light of Allah and to sacrifice our 6 months, Al-Yasghars, our young man, Al-Yakbar. We would have to give the blood like of the kids of Honor Muhammad. Are we ready? Is our mother's heart like the hearts of Bibi Zainab? Is your heart like the heart of Bibi Zainab, salamu alayha, where she went in sijda, saying that, oh Allah, accept the sacrifice that I've given to you. Because these hearts of the mothers that we're looking for were present in the 8-year war between Iraq and Iran. This 8-year war between the group of Allah and the group of Shaitan, there were mothers who had the heart of Bibi Zainab. We're looking for the same mothers, and we're looking for the fathers who will dress up their 8-year-old, 13-year-old, 11-year-old sons to go and sacrifice their lives for the sake of Islam. The Hussein of the time is coming. The light that has shone, that is taking out the darkness that this world is filled with, is getting brighter. It is in the hearts of you and I. And this light is going to burn bright and bright and bright and bright. Our thoughts are going to change. We are going to unite. We're going to hold each other's hands. We are going to put a voice against tyranny and oppression. And we will consider all of those things I mentioned to you as tyranny and oppression. And we will try our very best to finish it. And inshallah, with the help of Allah, that time will come. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the blood of shuhada. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pain that Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt in his heart when Ali Asghar's neck was cut. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of that humility that Bibi Zainab subhanahu wa ta'ala felt when her chadr was taken. I ask for the sake of the thirst of the kids and the daughters of Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I ask for the sake of everything that he loves and cares, that the time of the coming of the 12th Imam as soon as possible, that we as individuals unite, that our maraji, they are kept safe, and their guidance reaches us with ease, and we're able to accept the guidance, that the revolution of Islam, the revolution of Iran continues and gets connected with the revolution of the 12th Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him from the insinuations and the plans of the enemy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him long life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the Muslim Ummah's hearts to open, to make this power of choice and reasoning, that they accept him as their leader. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true friends and followers of the 12th Imam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر